It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't you wanna tell me your name? Feels like you got a lot to say. See you looking, looking my way. Been waiting for you all day. Telling me you're one of a kind. Cold blooded California dime. You working, working it right. Shark collar got golden eyes. Hey, hey, don't you know?
We're back. About 20-something, 23, it looks like, into hour three. And we're still trying to find Glenn Corbett. And I thought we got the, yeah, keep trying. Well, at the least, we can go to Richard Baltus, and maybe we'll get to Glenn on the backside. Either way, all right? It's been a little bit of a tap dance the way things worked out, but it was nice to get the chance to visit with John Court and with Jose Farrar off their graded stake wins, and 60 and 56 years old. Glenn's a couple of years younger, has really a quintessential Corbett, really a quintessential journeyman rider that just ground out wins for years and years. And you got to have a special mindset to do this for that long. And it's interesting that both Court and Farrar, both acknowledge that they didn't expect 15 or 20 years ago to keep riding into their 50s and 60s. Well, Richie Baltus, don't know if he expected to win a big cap in his career when he was younger, but it happens on Saturday with Idle. Richie, congratulations.
Hey, thank you.
Talk about that, actually. What it means to win a big cap.
Well, obviously, it means a lot because it's one of my goals. It's a race that I've been coming to for a long time. Before I ever started being a trainer, and my dad started taking me to the races when I was 13, and when I saw the great horses run, Green, Spectacular Bid, Affirmed. et cetera, et cetera. You know, it was always a very prestigious race. And then when you become a trainer, you know, you think about it, but, you know, it's you got to have the right horse. It's a different race. It's a mile and a quarter against the best horses in the country. So, yeah, you know, it's a different act of training. You got to have the horse, and you have to have him ready. And, yeah, it was very – I think it was my biggest win. I mean, I've won some great ones, you know, but this, I think – well, it meant more to me, you know, than any race.
I figured. And, you know, it's one of the real – one of the really fun topics too, because, you know, John Sadler, obviously with these three wins in a row, and Sadler being a Southern California native, and he talked about, you know, what the race meant to him as well. And, it, you know, it's a perspective that I think the horse playing community and the fan community really, they need to hear and to realize that these goals and these kinds of opportunities, the, you know, they're the motivation. That's why you got into this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I love the game. You know, you obviously have your struggles with it every day. Coming to the barn, there's always something that goes wrong, and, you know, you got to be here. And, you know, horsemanship is, it's a 7-day-a-week job, and, you know, we all do it, and, you got to be on top of it, and, you know, things happen, and, you know, this horse became available. It's just a weird story. It was, horse was bought as a yearling, and, one of my, clients, he started having some issues financially, and he had to give up the horse because, you know. So I had the horse in training, and the horse came up for sale. So I recommended it to my client. Like, look, this is a really nice colt. He's breathed really well, but he got a little bit of a shin. So I had a guy that would step up and put the money up, and, you know, the rest is history. So...
That's part of what I was excited to, you know, to ask you about too, because it's even a nice story to have a horse like this who didn't get his 3-year-old debut until September of last year. And, you know, some people would get frustrated and get, you know, overly eager. And, you know, so now here you are, a horse that obviously wanted a route of ground the whole time. He was able to break his maiden going 7/8, but that mile and 3/16 allowance when you took him to Churchill, that was, you know, that was really telling, that, you know, what kind of a horse this was.
Yeah. You know, like I said, he got a late start because he had a shin that we were battling with, and then I just finally had to turn him out and, you know, give him some time. But when he, you know, I always knew he wanted to go long, but I think it was, I had the horse ready here at Santa Anita, and, you know, they had a 5.5 furlong race, and, you know, that was like, well, you know, I have a small string at Churchill. I saw the 3/4 race. It was more money. So we put him on the plane, and he ran, you know, I think he ran Derby Day. He ran a good second going 108 and change, and the track was very fast that day. And then the 7/8 race, I was like, oh, that's a good second start. And he won pretty easy. And then the mile and 3/16 race, I mean, he broke the track record at Churchill. So, you know, and I think it was the third or fourth start, he broke the track record. And it's a different distance, so I don't know how many horses really ran on going a mile and 3/16 at Churchill, but just to break the track record, and your third or fourth start tells you something about the horse. And, you know, then we came back here. We were planning on, you know, going in this series. So, you know, I always thought he would be like a Kentucky Derby type of horse, but he just couldn't get over that chin in time to make the run at it. So, you know, he's doing great now. So, you know, he's still a young horse. I mean, he's lightly raised. He's just turned 4. So hopefully he keeps developing.
Yeah, who knows? It's an ideal scenario to have a horse that, you know, is only got 6 starts at this point as a 4-year-old, and you know, you got everything in your backyard for the rest of the year too, right? You don't have to go anywhere with him.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, you know, there's a $1 million bonus. I mean, it's tempting to go somewhere else for the bigger purses, you know, because, you know, you can run for $1 million, like, at Oakland or New York or whatever. But, you know, here it spaces out pretty good. You got the Hollywood Gold Cup, the Pacific Classic, and then the Breeders' Cup Classic. So, you know, they have that new bonus, Wild West bonus. So if you win all three, which is hard, I mean, you got to take one at a time. So maybe we'll run here. That'll give us enough time. He gets like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something like that. And then if he wins that, then we'll probably stay. If he doesn't win it, then maybe we'll ship and just, you know, I eventually do want to run here at Del Mar and the Breeders' Cup Classic would be the goal.
Well, and that would also, and you know, you'd have, would you want the Pacific Classic as a, you know, as a test trip over the surface?
Yeah, I mean, Del Mar has always been good surface, especially the last 3 or 4 years. It's been really good. And I love training down in Del Mar. I mean, wish we could train there longer, but obviously if he wins the next one, which would be the Gold Cup, then if he won the Pacific Classic, would be $1 million bonus. So we'd obviously
nice.
Look at that. But and I think it spaces out good enough. I put it in August, late August, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you got the Breeders' Cup in November, first part of November. So you don't have, you know, you got spacing, which is good, you know. And hey, who knows? We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, and I suppose should also fold in Joel Rosario's part in this. You know, certainly a horse like this that's going to come from off the pace, it really suits his style.
Yeah, I mean, Joel's, you know, he made a difference in the horse for sure. He, I believe that I read that he won the last three big caps in a row. So, I mean, he's a money rider. He's very strong finisher, and I think this horse kind of needs him because, not saying the horse is lazy, but he's, it seems like when he's been here at Santa Anita that he's needed a little more aggressive ride. You know, and he's just got a beautiful, big, long, beautiful stride. I mean, he's a tall horse. He's leggy. He's got a beautiful stride. He covers a lot of ground. And, you know, I think he saw that on Saturday. You know, he took the wide route, and Joel timed it perfectly. And so, you know, we got lucky, so it was great.
Well, stops the clock in 2:02:02, which is you know, a classic time. Anything in the 2:02 range for a mile and a quarter is racehorse time. Career best buyer as well, a 1:02. And how much more growing do you think he's got to do?
I just think he'll fill out a little more. I think that he's, you know, he's, like I said, he's not a really massive, muscly horse. He's more of an elegant type of horse. But I think with time, he'll fill out. He'll get you know, wider. He'll probably won't grow anymore. I mean, he's tall enough, and he's got a big, long neck. And, you know, he doesn't look like a studdish type of horse. So, you know, I mean, I think with giving him time between races, he'll put weight on, and he'll be a stronger horse. He's right. Still like baby Huey.
Well, then there's a lot to look forward to. And, you know, you mentioned the owner, the ownership scenario, and Calvin Wynn, who also had Bodicita, right?
Calvin, yeah. Calvin claimed my first horse in 1999, Big Mark, not Big Marker, Freedom Crest. So Calvin, he's been a loyal guy. You know, there was a little separation there when I went back to being an assistant because I wasn't really making a living, so I was an assistant for a while. And then when I was training here, he had some horses with Jim Kasparov, and Jim, you know, he was very loyal to Jim, and Jim retired and he went to work in the racing office, and, you know, he was like, you want to take the horses back? And I said, yeah. So we kind of made it, we made a plan. We got rid of some of the cheaper horses, and you know, we started buying babies and buying some horses from Europe, and, you know, we bought Bodicita, obviously this horse, and you know, the horse that just broke the maiden at Oaklawn, which ran a big race, the 3-year-old there, Noble Reflection. So we do have a lot of 2-year-olds, and you know, he's invested a lot of money, and he loves the game, so it's worked out really well.
No, you know, and I'm just looking at his involvement, and you mentioned going back to 99 and 2000. You know, he would win 1, 2, 3 races a year. He had a period 2006, 7, and 8 where he was away from the game, and you know, now he's back. The last 5, 6 years, you know, he's made 30, 40, 50 starts, give or take, and you know, to win a big cap, it's got to be a huge thrill for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great. You know, his wife and kids were here, and, you know, it was like from the pandemic, you know, we didn't have many fans, and, you know, usually the family can't even come to the races, so they were all here, and, you know, it was a great day for him and his family, and obviously us, and, you know, that's what keeps the ball rolling, especially when guys love the game. You know, they have to win to keep putting up money. Can't lose all the time.
Exactly right. Well, he now has got, you know, if things don't go perfectly going forward, to have won a yellow ribbon and a big cap the last 2 years is an awfully nice pair of successes.
Yeah.
And this is an exciting horse.
Yeah, it's a great thing for him. He's, you know, and obviously us at the barn, we need a guy like him. And you know, the thing about Calvin is, like, he lets me do my job. He listens. We buy horses, and especially at the sales, if I look at them and I like them, it's usually a go, unless they go crazy prices. But you know, even with the European horses, he's always willing to look at everything. And you know, we've gotten lucky. You know, we haven't spent a crazy amount of money to buy some nice horses. And you know, that's it. I mean, you got to spend some, but you don't have to spend $1 million to get a nice horse.
There's no doubt about that. And this is, you know, this story, obviously there's a few more chapters to write about Idol, but I got to ask you, too, about some other, you know, some other things that are going on. And the other winner on Saturday, Richie, Whisper Not, this looks like a serious horse if you can, you know, get some focus going.
Yeah, well, you know, Whisper Not was bought. Yeah, we was bought in Europe. We didn't pay a whole lot, you know, and he's been very, very kind of like, you know, single-minded. Like, he wants to run a little bit too fast early. And I've worked with him a lot. And, you know, he ran real fast the other day. He ran a mile and 32 and change. I think the stake they ran in 33 and change or 34. But I've been working with him, trying to get him to settle with my, you know, change some exercise riders on him and stuff, and he's doing a little better. That being said, you know, if you get him covered up and he drops a bite a little bit, I don't know. I mean, he's doing great. He came out of the race great, and he has a future. Flavian wrote him the other day, and he says, you know, Rich, you want some speed in the race, and the horse took off, and he said, look, I kind of gave him his head. And then I was going to take a hold of him, and then he felt like he was going to grab the bit, so I just dropped the reins on him. So, anyway, yeah, they weren't catching him that day. And you know, obviously that's being part of a trainer, is getting the horse to do everything correctly. But that being said as well, I've talked to a couple guys from Europe, and they were telling me that his sire, you know, throws a difficult horse. So
interesting.
I didn't know that. But, you know, people in Europe know it, and there's a couple guys at the races on Saturday that were telling me these things, so I got to kind of take their word for it. But he's a lovely horse. He's hopefully going to be in some kind of big races soon, you know, so.
I thought it was impressive, and it signaled. I mean, even the way he did run off a little bit, it still, it signaled that there's a lot of talent. The sire, by the way, for those that wondered, it's Poet's Voice. And I don't think I've seen another one in North America. And I did see the purchase went back to Tattersall's last summer. The horse's a racing age sale, $123,000.
Yeah, that's what we paid for him. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, it wasn't crazy money. And yeah, he's, you know, sometimes you see these Europeans, this horse just came in and I was like, look, he looks like a really good horse as far as his body and, you know, the way he was put together. Like sometimes the Euros come over here and they're a little skinny and they put on weight later after a time. But this horse came in just looking the part.
I did see David May had tweeted about him. This was a Jamie Lloyd and David.
Yeah, David and Jamie buy some horses for me over there. This one, Jamie is mostly there, so he goes to the sales, and now David's going back and forth as well. But they helped buy this horse, and they picked him out, and you know, we sort of took our regular guys, you know, some of the guys that were in the next shares and, you know, those guys. So, yeah.
Nice.
You know, you got to go everywhere to find a horse. You got to go to, the sales. You got to find them.
You got to beat the bushes.
I'm like actually down on horses compared to last year. But, you know, I said, you know, I want the right horses and, you know, we're going to go to the sale this weekend or next week, Ocala, and see if we can buy some more.
Nice. And speaking, you know, you mentioned next shares. What do you think after Sunday?
I think we're gonna probably give him a rest and maybe, you know, run him one more time. And you know, he's gonna retire sound and he's doing. You know, he came out of the race good. I just don't know if he's really kind of lost the desire. You know.
Yeah.
But he's here. He looks great. He's very sound. He's very happy. Probably going to turn him out for a little bit, and then maybe run him one more time. And if he doesn't perform, he'll probably go to Old Friends because he got a lifetime retirement there. I think that's probably
right.
What he'll do. You know, he won that stake at Kentucky Downs, and then he won a Shedmill Mile. But he's just a lovely horse. He's so sound. I mean, he's very happy. I don't know. Sometimes I think they get older and they just kind of get too smart, or they just. You know. I'm looking at him right now, and he's just like waiting for his food. He's licking his lips, and he's, you know, and he's just a great horse.
I love it. I love it. I wanted to ask about him because you did win the race, we should mention, right? I mean, you still.
The other horse.
North Country guy.
Yeah. He's just getting really good. He just turned the corner, a North County guy, and he won the Calbred Stake, and then he won that three other than the other day, and he was impressive. So, you know, you never know. I mean, when the horses are doing good, you know, they get sometimes they improve a lot, and this horse has improved a lot.
This is he's a Pamplemousse, and you know, he ran a 97 buyer. If you didn't see the figure.
Yeah, it was the way he did it, too. I mean, he pulled away from some nice horses. He's got I think the reason why we claimed him was he had a half-sister out of that mare. It was an unusual heat mare. Her name was Warmth. And we claimed him to run on the turf because the half-sister was, like, running, was the same deal. She was in for a tag, and then she was running in stakes. So, it was kind of one of the owners saw that, and they asked me, and I'm like, hey, it's worth taking a shot. I think we claimed the horse for $20,000. And
how about that?
Put him on the grass and gave him a goat because he likes to walk around the stall and send the assembly right down. And, you know, he just seems to be happy, and now he's running, you know.
Beautiful. What about, let me ask you about one more. You had that maiden winner come back as a three-year-old, Noble Reflection. I don't know if people saw this, But this was a big performance. Three quarters. He's a Liam's Map out of a Tisnow mare, so bred by Watts Humphrey. What do you got here?
Yeah, I don't know. This horse here I bought as a yearling for $60,000 out of the sale, and I liked him. I mean, he was big, and he was correct. I mean, he didn't have a lot of scope, but I got him for like $60,000, and Calvin was like, "Well, what's wrong with him?" I said, "Nothing." And he vetted good. I just nobody was on him.
Unbelievable.
And then I broke him down in Florida with Robbie Harris, and Robbie was like, "This horse is a beast. I mean, he's just a beast," and he wanted to geld him, and I'm like, "Okay, we'll geld him if you think that's what we need to do." And so then I had him over there at Family Ray, and he was working, and every time I'd watch him work with another horse, he would just blow him away. I mean, like, blow him away, like, wasn't even close, anything I put with him. So when I ran him the first time, it was a pretty good race at Del Mar, the two-year-old maiden races, and he drew the rail, he broke sharp, and he came out with a little injury, and he had a little teeny chip. And we took it out, had surgery, gave him 3 months off, let him grow, and he was working good. And I was like, Oakland, I sent my assistant Amy over there in Galassi, and she has a few over there for him. We don't have a lot, but there's a good spot for him there. And God, he was impressive. Yeah. So hopefully he goes on and keeps running well. I mean, I think with the Tisnow on the bottom, he'll get more distance, and he's a big colt. So, hopefully he has some good races in front of him.
It sure seems like it. Was the chip an ankle or a knee?
It was the upper joint of the knee.
Huh.
But, it came out really good. I think Dr. McElroy did the surgery. I'm not sure. I think it was him. But anyway, it was very small. And came back really well. So,
well, he's a half rich to a couple of stake placed types. Pretty Fancy was a Lemon Drop kid, and Cash Out, who was a Street Cry filly, and he got an 89 buyer in there. If you hadn't seen that,
yeah, I mean, somebody told me it was the fastest 3/4 race of Oakland, the whole meet so far. I don't know.
109
and 2. That's what I was told. Yeah, and.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew he was going to run good, but I didn't know he was going to be that good. So he came back fine, and we keep our fingers crossed.
no complaints. It seems like things are going pretty good. You do have a maiden that turns up on Friday at Santa Anita, Disappearing Act, who's been knocking on the door, a 4-year-old magician filly. And homebred for BHMFR.
That's Anita Nesser. Anita just had a horse that she breeds a lot of horses. Some she sells, some she keeps, some she sends to Europe. So she had a winner the other day, Hubris, that broke his maiden in a really nice way. And this filly, is ready to run. She's ready to roll. So hopefully we did get some rain. We got a pretty good amount of rain today, and we're supposed to get a little bit of rain tomorrow, and then Friday. I don't know. I mean, I think they'll leave it on the turf. They said they were, but it might be a little soft grass, so we'll see. But she's ready to go, and I think she's ready to break her maiden.
Well, she's knocked on the door. She's got 3 placements and 6 starts, so she's got some talent. And
I think she wants this distance, too. It's a mile and a quarter maiden race, and yeah, she looks like she wants to go forever, so hopefully.
Richie, a big win Saturday. Idle, a lot of upside yet, but a big cap win no matter what happens, and delighted to get a chance to talk about it, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Richie Baltus, everybody, first big cap win. And as Richie pointed out, that was Rosario's 3rd in a row. And, of course, Sadler had won 3 in a row going into Saturday. He didn't have one this year. But Joel duplicating a Mike Smith accomplishment of 3 straight big cap wins. And we got a chance to talk about some of those other ones. Go, if you haven't seen that race from Sunday, it was the 7th at Oaklawn. Noble Reflection, Leem's Map, big gray gelding, and 89 buyer, second career start. And, you know, speaking of which, second career starts, that was the same scenario as the Baffert winner that defunded on Saturday. Made a start as a two-year-old against good company, got injured, is off for 4, 5, 6 months, comes back, and those horses come back running. And in this case, you didn't get 9-1. You got 90 cents. But anyway, speaking of the opportunities you had over the weekend, we talked to Papo on Friday. Papo Morales joins us, Papo Core One on Twitter from AmWager and for form2win.com, form2win.com, and had a good weekend. We saw a number of notes on Twitter of people who downloaded the app and poked around and is getting to understand it and are finding winners like Weyburn. Papo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing today?
Excellent. And how was your weekend?
Frustrating, to say the least. Because we talked about this with Form to Win, when you have horses that show up and you're like, there's no way. And Weyburn, who was third fastest on Form to Win, I talked to I have a buddy that I play the multis with that we combine our bankrolls, you know, for some more coverage. And we talked about the horse, and we were both looking at Form to Win, and we said, you know, we could use him as a C. And we chose not to at the last minute. And then, of course, you know, we absolutely used Helium because he was a double qualifier. And so all our A's won. And if we would have just used him as a C, I think it paid like $64,000 for the cross country. So it was a missed opportunity.
And I'm looking. I'll put this up on Twitter. Highly motivated. We're talking about using the Form to Win. This was the average. Highly Motivated was listed first. Freedom Fighter was listed second. Weyburn was listed third, which is really quite something. I mean, it's funny. The horse that Form to Win discounted was Capo Kane, and that in itself was valuable because if you kind of netted him out, I mean, Crowded Trade, you had to make, there was another, you know, one start type horse. You had to kind of make a decision about. He was fifth with just the one start. But, you know, to have Weyburn that highly rated, I picked him fourth myself and didn't use him to great advantage personally. But I absolutely noted my decision-making process of putting him on the page was what I saw from the Form to Win. I didn't take advantage properly in my betting, but that's why I included him.
Yeah, I mean, the saving grace out of all of it was I did bet him to win. So that
nice.
Kind of
nice.
That made the, yeah, you know, picked up the pieces from not hitting in anything from the multis. But, yeah, it's just when you're using the app, and really the value is, and it is the is that average Form to Win time. And then, of course, you know, you can structure your filters however you want based on distance, but it just continues to highlight horses that just looking at the raw PPs, they wouldn't work. And I will say this, Steve, I don't know when you print out your PPs. I print them out usually on Thursdays for the weekend. And so I look at the races Thursday night, and then I got word Friday that Weyburn had a 3-furlong blowout on Thursday. And I even,
right.
I tagged, you know, whoever handles, his Twitter account and said, oh, nice, you know, nice 3-furlong blowout. And it gave me the thumbs up. And so it was like it was looking me right in the face. And I still was not smart enough to use him, at least as a C for the multis.
We're going to be short today. We'll do more of that later in the week. But I should also mention, especially with Richie Baltus having just joined us, for those that looked at Form to Win when it came to the big cap, Idle was number one on Form to Win average.
Yeah, it's a powerful tool, Steve. I mean, we just encourage everybody to you know, download the app. I did talk to Alex in Australia this morning. His team is pushing the newest version of the app to the Apple Store and Google Play. So it usually takes a couple days from once they push it for it to be accepted. But hopefully by this weekend, we'll have the updated app, and that will give you two free races a day to start to look at and analyze some races.
Well, and then what we'll do together, you know, we'll get you on, and you and I'll we'll go through them, and we'll handicap them together, and we can walk people through the instrumentation so that they can, you know, they can see. But I can tell just from the reactions we're getting. Our friend Dan Hart, Dan used it this weekend, and he scored, and I can just tell from the emails we've gotten. I'm sure you've gotten others as well. Just, you know, it hasn't taken much for people to figure out. You hit that analyze button, and even if you don't adjust the sliders, even if you don't adjust, the requisites, things like distance, just the raw computation of, you know, the straightforward analysis is help enough.
Exactly, Steve, and obviously it is based off, you know, the speed and the figures that they've run in the past. So the more if you've got more data on the horses, I think the more you can really, kind of fine tune your opinions. But I mean, even with the 3-year-olds, you know, sometimes those horses can jump up and run a bigger number because they are getting better with every start. But yeah, I was actually quite surprised with the results of the Gotham that it was already pointing out that horse had a legitimate shot.
What do we anything for today?
I just looked at Tampa real quick. I looked at Gulfstream, but it had a couple of scratches. Just Tampa, there were two races. Tampa, race 7, there's the full horse, Donia's Magic, who's 6-1. She fits on form to win. And then the Tampa 9th, which is 5 furlongs on the turf. The number 2, Baby Booner, at 8-1 is one I would kind of be interested to try to fill in to the fold.
All right, I have not looked yet. So the Tampa 6, did you say?
Tampa 7, the number 4. And then the Tampa 9, the number 2.
Beautiful. All right, I'll play around with it too, and we'll get back tomorrow or Friday or both with Popo. Form number 2win.com. Download the app and go through the races. You get the previous 2 days as well, so you can go back and look at results, compare them up. You hit the analyze, and it immediately gives you some contenders that you might not have considered. That has been, and in some cases, like I mentioned, Capo Kane, it pushes down a horse that you thought, you know, had to be used. It's amazing, to say the least. Popo, thank you, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow and or Friday.
Yeah, sounds good, Steve. Have a great day.
Popo Morales, Popo Core 1 on Twitter for Form 2, number 2, win.com. Andy Serling tomorrow. We are going to have to get Glenn Corbett tomorrow, too. Glenn never surfaced. So we did get 2 out of 3, Jose Farrar and John Court. And, of course, Brent Fernung joined us to pay tribute to his late brother, Sid Fernando, as well. Richie Baltus, talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
The
there's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.